Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I trust you're having a lovely day, or night, or evening, or whatever it may be, wherever you are right now, because as with most podcasts, this is almost live. I'm recording it live, you're listening to it delayed, because it can't be live, it's recorded. That's just the way it works. Yes, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I trust that you have enjoyed this past week in your technology. I certainly have. This is podcast number 21, Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, number 21, February 4th, 2006. I'd like to give you that kind of information because it's just what you're supposed to do, and you know, I'm all about doing what you're supposed to do. You need to do what you're supposed to do with computers. You know, yesterday was February 3rd. That means it was D-Day. If you didn't have your virus signatures properly installed, if you weren't keeping up with making sure that your system was not infected, then you may have been hit with that evil virus, the Nixim. There's so many names for this virus, it's kind of silly. It's got all kinds of pseudonyms that it goes by, and none of them are terribly clear. Black Mall, My Wife, Gama Sutra, GRU, and CME24. You know, Nizim, that's the one that at least the BBC used in the article that I linked to. And what it's supposed to do is delete Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and Acrobat files on different machines that are infected. Now, here's the thing. You wouldn't have gotten it unless you got an email and clicked on the link or the attachment. And, of course, if you don't click on links or attachments in your email, then you wouldn't have gotten it anyway. If you clicked on it and you had your proper antivirus installed with the proper antivirus signatures installed, you still wouldn't have gotten it. But if you didn't have your antivirus up to date, or you weren't running an antivirus at all, and you practiced bad computing and clicked on an attachment or a link, then tough bananas. You probably have had your files deleted because it actually springs out on February the 3rd. Actually, the 3rd of each month. So, you know, next month on the 3rd, it'll happen again. And the next month on the 3rd, it'll happen again. You get the idea. So, I tell you, you got to watch out for these things. And these viruses are getting nastier and nastier all the time. So, dude, keep your virus signatures up to date. You know, I've got one. I've got, on my personal computers, I've got AVG. And I've got it set to auto-update, and I just let it go and do its thing and auto-update. And it's just such a lovely thing to have up-to-date antivirus signatures. It still, every once in a while, is good to go ahead and right-click on it and do an update and see if there's any, you know, what shall we call it, non-critical updates that it may have. Go ahead and get those as well. Just keep it really, really, really up-to-date. It's the best thing you can do. All right, let's talk about some of the things that we found this past week to blog on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, which, of course, is located at thecomputercurmudgeon.com, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. That's right. Easy to remember because it's the computer curmudgeon. And you know, again, how to spell curmudgeon, don't you? C-U-R, a cur is a bad dog. M-U-D, rolling in the mud, on the planet, G-E-O-N-G-O-N. That's right. Easy to remember. Thecomputercurmudgeon.com. I'm actually looking at some alternate domain names, which I won't go into just in case people get the idea of, you know, registering them so that I can't, which would be bad. You wouldn't want to do that. Come on. Anyway, so I won't go into that, but for right now, thecomputercurmudgeon.com will do rather nicely. You could, of course, go to drbillbailey.net/blog, but that just sounds so much like John C. Dvorak. You know, he's always talking about dvorak.org/blog. You know, every time he turns around, he's promoting dvorak.org/blog. So drbillbailey.net/blog just sounds too much like John C. Dvorak, so I won't go into that. But at any rate, I've been blogging, and one of the things that I found that was really interesting is to how to turn your Windows XP system into a Mac. Well, sort of. Basically, you can make it look like a Mac and act like a Mac. You know, you've got your standard Windows XP green fields with a blue sky kind of a motif. You can install some themes and some tools and make your screen look like a Mac. Now, why you'd want to do that, I don't really know. Other than just the coolness factor of showing somebody your screen and you go, oh, I didn't know you had a Mac, dude. And then they look at your computer and it says HP on it and they go, huh? What are you doing? No, you're running Windows XP. You're just making it look like a Mac, which is kind of, I don't know. It's just one of those geeky things you can do, okay? So I threw it in there just for the fun of it. Next item, phone spoofing as a business. Now, this is odd. I just found this very, very strange. You know, phone spoofing is technically illegal. Duh. You know, where you make a call and you charge it to somebody else's number, or you make a call and sound like somebody you're not, or, you know, any number of things. Basically, misuse of the phone is what it boils down to. And, of course, Kevin Mitnick made that very famous because he was an expert phone spoofer and computer hacker. And, of course, he got into a lot of trouble by hacking into a computer and was thrown into jail. And even after he got out of jail, he had to go like a year or two without even being able to use a computer, which I think would be worse than jail when you get right down to it, not being able to use a computer at all. I mean, dude. Anyway, so he's out now. He's a computer security expert. He has turned to the light side from the dark side, and he is now, I guess, a computer Jedi instead of a Sith. So there you go. Anyway, back to the phone spoofing. There's a company now called SpoofCard. SpoofCard.com. Yeah. And basically, you can make a call while appearing to be another caller. In other words, make it look like it's coming from another line. And you can even change your voice. Now, you know, I asked the question in the blog, what possible legitimate purpose could you have in doing that? How could you have a business around phone spoofing? I don't know. But they did, and it's a real business, and it's out on the net, and I give you a link just so you can see it. Next item, February 3rd, I've already mentioned the Nisium virus. Maybe that's a better pronunciation, Nisium, or Kama Sutra, or whatever you want to call it. That really nasty February 3rd virus was discovered last month, and February 3rd is the first third of the month. Get that, first third of the month after it has been released. So that's why February 3rd. Yeah, okay. Anyway, it will go off, boom, on February 3rd, which, of course, has already passed, and then next month on the 3rd, and so on and so on and so on, as I mentioned. Now, to give you a complete list of the files that will be deleted off of infected systems, DMP, which is an Oracle file, DOC, a Word document, MDB, Microsoft Access Database, MDE, Microsoft Access Office file, PDF, which is an Adobe Acrobat file, PPS, which is a PowerPoint slideshow, PPT, another PowerPoint file, PSD, your Photoshop files, RAR, a RAR, which is a compressed archive file, XLS, which is Excel spreadsheet, and of course, ZIP, which is a compressed file, archive. So there you go. Those files will go poof right off your system if you were infected with it. And if you were, I'm very, very sorry. Should have used that antivirus. Told you, you know. Particularly when AVG is free. I keep telling you, AVG is free. Go to free.grisoft, GRISOFT.com. Go there, go to the bottom of the page, click on the link, download the free antivirus. You're good to go. Need to do that. There are other free antiviruses out there. Avast, I use that on my laptop. Avast is good. The reason I use it on my laptop instead of AVG, give you the lowdown very quickly, is because I also have an instant messaging program on my PC, and Avast is useful for instant messaging. It will protect you even for instant messages that have viri as well. Viri instead of viruses. It's one of those computery things, yeah. Anyway, I use Trillian as my IM client, and it will protect you. Avast will protect you as well as through your email and through your files, your instant messaging as well. Yeah. So there you go. Geek Software of the Week for this week. This is a really good one. I like this one. This one is really cool because it is so destructive. Dude, this file will destroy your computer. I love it. Ah, you gotta love it. All right, here's the thing. You say, Dr. Bill, you're in another one of those weird moods. Yes, I am. So watch out. Okay, DBAN. DBAN stands for, D-B-A-N, got it, DBAN, stands for Derek's Boot and Nuke. Because you boot with this system, and it will nuke your machine. We're talking permanently destroyed. Now, why is that a good thing, you may ask? Well, it's not destroying your machine as in blowing it up so that it's no longer usable at all. What it's doing is it's wiping your hard drive. But it's wiping your hard drive in such a way that it cannot be restored in the sense that files could be brought back and used, so to speak, against you. Now, where would that be useful? Well, for instance, let's say that you had a company and you had 100 PCs and you bought those PCs, oh, I don't know, 4 years ago. So you decided, man, these PCs are getting old. I'm going to go out and buy all new PCs for my business. So you do so and you have 100 new PCs. Now you've got 100 old ones, you know. You don't want them because you just bought 100 new ones. So what are you going to do with those 100 old PCs? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll give them away to anybody that wants them. Okay, good for you. Very social conscious, you know. Maybe you're going to give them to a charity, get a little tax write-off. That's all very nice. But if you just pick them up and hand them to them, they're going to have all your data. And you're going to say, well, duh, I'm going to go out and just do a delete, **, and I'll delete everything, and then that'll be fine. Well, guy, guess what? You can pull up several freeware programs off the web that will undelete those files, and they've got all your data, all your credit card numbers, all your business information. You can see that's a problem. So you want to be able to get rid of that data in such a way that it completely deletes it so that it can't be restored. The other thing is there's licensing issues. Let's say you give away a machine, but you kept your Windows license for the new machines when you bought them, and yet it's still got a copy of Windows on it. Well, now you've got an old machine with Windows on it, and you've got a new machine with Windows on it. Technically, that's not legal. So you want to wipe it in such a way that it is gone. Okay? So, that's where DBAN comes in. DBAN is available as an image that can be placed onto a floppy so that you can boot off of it, or as an ISO so that you can put it on a CD-ROM and boot off the CD-ROM. Either way, you boot off the floppy, you boot off the CD-ROM that has DBAN on it, it comes up, it asks you, here you go, you ready to nuke your drive? And you do so. Now, here's the thing, warning, Will Robinson, warning. There's no "Are you sure?" warning. When you tell it to delete that drive, the drive's gone, sucker. Okay? There's no warning of "Did you really mean to do that?" Now, I point that out because Dark Moon, our friend from Lux at Umbra, shared that with me in the form of a comment to this message and said, "Oh yeah, by the way, there's no confirmation. If you tell it to do it, it's just going to do it." Well, here's my thinking on that, okay? First of all, Dark Moon, I appreciate you pointing that out. I really, really do, because that's good information. It's something everybody that's listening to the podcast should know. You have been warned, okay? But at the same time, if you create a floppy with DBAN on it and you put it in your machine and you boot with it, you kind of got to think that maybe you intended to blow away your hard drive. Now, if you create the floppy and you boot off of it, and you didn't intend to destroy your hard drive, let's just say you have issues beyond computer issues, okay? So be very, very careful, folks. This is not something you want to fool around with. This will destroy your data. That's what it's for. Okay. So, be warned. Now, I did have somebody ask a question in the comments on this particular post that was saying, well, you know, that's great if you want to wipe your entire hard drive, but I just want to get rid of certain files. You know, I've got this file, and it's very confidential. I want to be sure it cannot be undeleted. What do I do then? Well, then you need to check out a utility called Simple File Shredder. It's free, like all the things that the good doctor recommends. It is free, and I would encourage you to do that. And also, with regard to that, I recommended that file. It's a good one. But Dark Moon also weighed in, and he recommends a file that's actually associated with D-Band. You know, basically the same folks. It's called Eraser. And he says he's used it for a couple of years, that it's a good program. So there you go. Two opportunities, two different files that will help you get rid of those files that you just really don't want anybody to see. So there you go. You got some opportunities on that Geek Software of the Week. You know, the Geek Software of the Week is a feature that I kind of really like because it's my chance to share with you some of my finds. I'm always out there surfing the web and finding cool things, and I'm always looking for utilities and finding things. And a lot of the stuff that I found, I really use. I mean, I do use it a lot. You know, I've got WinPooch and ClamWin installed on my work laptop because, and here's why, I don't trust Norton Antivirus, period. And that's what they use at work. That's what they have on all their systems. And frankly, I think that's about as good as having a little picture of Mickey Mouse in the corner. Okay, forget it. So I've got WinPooch and ClamWin installed, and it comes up and barks at me, WinPooch does, whenever anything weird is going on my laptop, which can get kind of weird if you're sitting at work and you're working along, and then all of a sudden it goes, woof, you know, and people look at you like, what? But I kind of like that, you know. So there you go. All right, anyway, that reminds me of something. Being in a weird mood reminds me of something. I had an interesting email last week about the podcast. You remember the podcast last week where I read all the warning messages? I had a guy send me an email that says, Dr. Bill, really enjoy your podcast, and I'm beginning to warm to your sense of humor. There you go. I do say some things on the podcast that I know are a little odd. And that oddness is the reason a lot of you tune in, so that you can laugh and chuckle and say, boy, that guy is a loon. And, of course, you're right. But at any rate, here's the thing about that. Uh-oh. I seem to have... Oh, I see what I did. I hit a switch and muted my headset. And so I didn't hear myself, and so I thought you weren't hearing me. But you were. Okay, let's just put that where it can't be hit again, because that really threw me off my groove. You don't want to throw the doctor off his groove. All right, where was I? Oh, yes. I was saying that I'm a little strange, and I think I just demonstrated that, actually, so I won't really go into that much further. However, I will say this. The thing about my strange sense of humor, and referring to myself in the third person, like saying the doctor this and the doctor that, you know, I realize that can be just a little bit unnerving. Actually, when I listen to my own podcast, I go, oh, man, you know, that's just a little unnerving. But it's the unnerving nature of that I like about that, because it throws you off, you see. And it opens your mind and expands your horizons in such a way that the information that I impart into you can go deeper than simply the upper levels of the brain and get down into the core of the brain. At least, that's my theory. Okay, now, let's talk about some other things. Boy, did I mention I was in a weird mood. Where are we at on the podcast? Oh, we got about 10 more minutes. I got a program before Christmas called Dragon Naturally Speaking 8. Now, actually, I had Dragon Naturally Speaking version 1 way back in the days while the dinosaurs were roaming the earth. And I tried it, and it really, really was bad. Okay? I'm sorry, it was. However, I had a chance to get an upgrade that was really, really amazingly cheap, and I thought, you know, I think I'll give it a shot. This is Dragon Naturally Speaking version 8.1 Preferred Edition. Now, why Preferred Edition instead of Standard Edition? Well, let's see why. I've got the box right here in front of me. The difference is that it will work with Microsoft Excel. Well, there you go. Don't you want to talk to your Microsoft Excel? This is a voice recognition program, by the way. It also integrates with Microsoft Office 2003 OneNote. The Preferred Edition does instead of the Standard. Good for it. Import and convert recordings from Palm One Tungsten Pocket PC or a digital recorder. That's one reason I wanted the Preferred Edition, because I want to try that. I'm going to give that a shot. Palm OS Dragon Recorder software included. I don't have a Palm OS PDA, so who cares? Voice playback correction and proofing. That sounds cool. Haven't tried that. Includes ScanSoft RealSpeak for turning text into human-sounding synthesized speech. Haven't tried that yet either. Insert your signature, logo, or boilerplate text in any file with single voice comment. So you could say, insert, and it would put it in there. That's strange. Let's see, what else do we have here? Import and export user file to work on a network or on the go. Why couldn't you do that with the Standard Edition? I don't know. Anyway, that's the difference between the Preferred and Standard Edition, so there you go for full disclosure. Now, here's the thing about 8.1. I tried it, and by George, it actually works. I was amazed. Now, it comes with a headset with a microphone and all that kind of stuff. I went ahead and used that to try it, and that worked very well. But I also went ahead and put on my official podcasting microphone and headset, and it works really well, too. So, it's very cool. The other thing I did try, though, is I've got Pod Producer up right now doing the podcast, of course. And I tried to run Dragon Naturally Speaking at the same time to see if it would understand what I'm saying during the podcast and transcribe it at the same time, and it won't do that. Kind of a shame, because that would have been cool. I got to have the whole transcript of the podcast as I spoke it so that it went to a podcast and it went to text at the same time. I imagine that my show notes would be a little long and kind of boring that way, though, so maybe that's not such a good idea. But I tried it because, you know, the doctor, I just got to try these things. Anyway, but what's cool about it is you can actually read something into it, for instance, and I took the TV guide. Now, okay, TV guide. I read about a show called Without a Trace, which I actually watch. It's a Jerry Bruckheimer show, kind of cool, but it stars Anthony LaPaglia. So I was reading along, and I read the name, Anthony LaPaglia. Now, here's the thing. It's like I told my son Ben when I was being amazed about it after the fact. I said, I don't know how to spell LaPaglia, but it spelled LaPaglia correctly. Capital L, lowercase a, capital P. How does it know? It's a computer program. How does it know Anthony LaPaglia? The only thing I can figure is it must have a table somewhere of how to spell actors' names. Can you imagine all the actors that would have to know? So I tried some other stuff. I quoted a news story, and it got names of the people in the news right. I mean, it was amazing. So, Dragon, if you ever want to call Dr. Bill and have him give you a recommendation, feel free to do so, because the program rocks. So, there you go. Now, I'm going to keep playing with it, and I want to try a couple of things. And what I'm really interested in trying, and this is really odd, I know, but I've got some recordings of myself from many years ago. We're talking 20-some-odd years ago. I've got some recordings. I want to try to convert them. Apparently, I have to convert them to WAV files. I want to try to convert them to WAV files and read them into Dragon Naturally Speaking and see if it will translate into text correctly. Now, that would be truly awesome. You say, Brother Bill, why do you care? Hey, it's just one of those things, you know? You just got to experiment. You got to play. You got to stretch the technology. That's what it's about. Yes, indeedy. So, hopefully, I can give you a report before too long about how that went. We shall see. Anything else I wanted to talk about this week? Seems like there was like bunches of things I had in the back. Yes. Big news. Boy, I don't know how I could almost forgot this. You remember months literally ago that I mentioned that I had applied for membership in the Tech Podcast Network. Now, the Tech Podcast Network is a network of podcasters, that talk about technological issues, news, things of that nature, and so forth. And, you know, I applied after I had, like, maybe four programs in the can, so to speak. And, I wasn't sure that they would let me in. Because the thing is, they actually review the programs. They listen to them. They vote as a body of people to vote in whether or not you get to be in the Tech Podcast Network. It's not just one of those things you sign up and that's it. So I hadn't heard from them for months. So I went ahead and sent Todd Cochran, who is the head geek at Geek News Central, and also kind of the head of the Tech Podcast Network. And I sent Todd a message and said, "Hey, Todd, how's it going? Just wondering if I had, you know, been voted in or out of Tech Podcast Network." And he said, "Oh, yeah, well, we're going to have a meeting, and we haven't decided anything yet, and so we'll let you know." Okay. So I sat back, and I was patient again for another month almost. And then all of a sudden, last night, I get an email, "Welcome to the Tech Podcast Network. So, Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is now a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network." Dude, rock on. There you go. And you might say, "Well, why do you care?" Well, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those cool things. So, I'm encouraging you to go to techpodcast.com. And check out the list of other members of the Tech Podcast Network, and maybe you'll find some other podcast you want to listen to. Digital Experience Podcast with Lance Heath, I listen to that one. Geek News Central with Todd Cochran, listen to that one. And there's many, many, many others. I encourage you to go check them out. Now, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon may not be on the Tech Podcast website. Get my mouth adjusted there. Just yet, because they are redesigning the website rather extensively. They're about 80% of the way done. Once the new website design comes out, all the new members will be listed. So I'm not quite listed yet. I mean, I just got the email last night. But I'm pretty excited about that. Official member of the Tech Podcast Network. That just sounds cool. So, hope you'll rejoice with me on that. And with that bit of news, I think it's just about time for us to wander on down the street and kind of see what's happening down that way. Yeah, you know, somehow I got this image of Dr. Bill wandering down the street looking like a bum going through trash cans when I said that. Right. Yeah, maybe I don't want to dwell on that image. Oh, well, hey, there's the music, so I guess it's time to leave. Remember, the doctor is out.